recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one, and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Be'ilah, brought to you by Bein Chomot Yerushalayim, is Daf Yud Chet. We're finishing up the fourth perek today, Bezrat Hashem. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah, right at the top of the page. Orla Uchla Yakeren, wrapping up now the dinim of Tziruf of this perek. So we started talking about the possible Tziruf of Pigul V'Notar. And the similar to that, that they were Mechalik between the dinim of Tumat Yadayim and the dinim of Achila. So since they had one Makar, so we said that the Gabi Achila, they would be mitzvah. We find an interesting similar situation by Ha'orla Uchloya Kerem. Orla Uchloya Kerem are mitzvahim zeimze. Because, as we're going to discuss, normally we said that things are not mitzvahim if they're of different Shemot. And when we're talking about Tziruf over here, as we're going to see, that the question here is not Tziruf legabe asrin etarovet, different things that are also being mitzvah, but rather Tziruf, it would appear anyway from the Gemara, although the Bartanur has a possible pshat that is referring to Tziruf in terms of asrin, but it's mixed. It's pretty clear from the Gemara that we're talking about actually Malkut over here. And therefore, it could be that the Svara, here's what the Beforshim say, is because there is an overall iser of kol toiva. Kol toiva, kol shetiyafti lecha is aser. Even though we said before things would not be mitzvah if it's a bangadvela. But that's because you tried to give a single azhara for an avela. So there, if you hold a nisachalvis, for instance, if you have hold a nisachalvis in that case. So one was chayav because of the iser of eating a non-kosher animal, and the other one was chayav because of an avela. They can't be mitzvah in being Machayev Malkus. But suppose you had given him, according to the sheet of Rabbi Meir, you had given him Hatra'ah, Fulotocha Kolta Eotoeva, then Enochinami. It would have been Mitzdarf. Okay, so that's one possibility. Rabbi Shimon Omer, a Mitzdarfu. Because according to this, Rabbi Pashtas of the Mishnah, is that Rabbi Shimon is saying what you would all normally say, that since it's Betray Shemot, it can't be Mitzdarf at all. The question is, asks the Gemara, why would Rabbi Shimon be discussing whether something is mitztaref if Rabbi Shimon doesn't even hold that you need tziruf? Wasn't Rabbi Shimon the one who said, Vatanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kosher ulamakot, that any shear at all is b'chayev malkus? You do not need a shear of the kizayit. So how could he be talking about over here tziruf? This is why the mashmaut is that we're talking about malchus and not tziruf to asra tarovet, because the truth is that Tosfos points out Rabbi Shimon himself holds that in a tarovet he's not saying that you would be chayev on pochus mikashir. You see, still need the shir in a tarovet. It's only if you eat it directly that we would say that you don't need a kizayit, according to Rabbi Shimon. And says the Gemara, you're right. Instead of reading the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon on their Ein Mitzarfin, read that to say Ein Tzrichin Litzarei. What's the point of requiring Tziruf anyway? Since you don't need a Kezayit, you're Mechayev on each one for whatever shame you gave him the Azara for. Therefore, you don't get into the need to be Mitzarif a Kezayit. And the last case that we have, even though we said before that where there's different Shiurim, that there is no tziruf. Here we have a Mishnah that seems to apply the didim of tziruf in a different way, because here we're talking about the object that's mekabel tumah. But nonetheless, it seems to be saying, even though we said before, when you have two separate shiurim, you would not be able to mitzaref the shiurim even for the more kal. So in other words, you cannot use a adasha of a sheretz to be mashlim, a missing piece of kizayit from an avail, even though it's the same level of tuma. Why? Because it's different shiurim. So in other words, even for the tzarech of a kizayit, you can't use the kadasha. Nonetheless, over here, we seem to be contradicting that. We're about to explain why.
But before we begin this Mishnah, let me just point out that we have different materials that have different shiurim, Megabe Kabbalat Tuma. We have normal cloth, and over there the shiur is Shalosh Etzba'ot can be Mekabel Tuma for Tumat Maga, and Shloshat Tvachim could be Mekabel Tuma, which is four times as large, could be Mekabel Tuma for four times as large, right? Shloshat Tvachim. It's four times. It's four Etzba'ot in each one. So Shalosh Etzba'ot times four Shloshat Tvachim. Well, you're looking at me so stranger. Three Tvachim is enough to be Mekabel the Tumat of the Mishkav and Moshe of the Zav. So that would be their shir. Now the other types of material are much more kal, and they require a larger amount in order to be makabel any level of tumah. So even the etzba'ot is out of the question. Once we go up to the next level, we're talking about sackcloth. Sackcloth is a very cheap and thick weave, and therefore it's only makabel tumah if it has four tvachim by four tvachim. That's doesn't matter whether you're talking about tumas zav, or you're talking about regular tumas maga. And then you go up. Above that, you have leather, and leather is not really material at all, and therefore it's not as flexible, and it's not usable within the gutim that you're lovish, unless it's a larger piece. So there you have 5 by 5, and tvachim. And that's the smallest shear for any Kabbalah tumah. And then you have the mapatz. Mapatz is made out of thick reed or that type of material, whether it's thick or thin, but it's a much less flexible kind of baguette even than or, and because of that there you have 6 by 6 tvachim. Now, nonetheless, they will be mitzarif zeim zeh for the more chomer. So another for the more kal, in other words, for where you'll need more. So in other words, you could be mashlim with baguette a missing piece of a 6 by 6 tvachim mafatz, let's say. Or a 5 by 5 piece of ore. Obviously, you can't do it in the other direction, because then you're trying to use something that doesn't have such a... You can't put a little piece of ore in to fill up the missing shalosh etzbot of a baguette. But the other way around, you could use a smaller piece of baguette to be mashlim the mapatz.
So there's 3 etzbot by 3 etzbot, 4 by 4 etzbot, 5 by 5, 6 by 6. There is no 3 by 3
etzbot. Yes, there is 3 by 3
etzbot. Where is that?
Where I told you, just because you spend your time looking at a fire, it doesn't give you all the pshatim, and don't listen. You don't need to double check. You can trust me. Three tvachim by three tvachim is the gabi the tuma of midras of a zav. Three etzpaot by three etzpaot is typical maga.
So where was it? The Rebbe said 4 times as much.
There, right there. 4 times as much of three etzpaot is three tvachim. Same material, but in terms of midras, not in terms of maga. Okay? Obviously, to be doris on something requires a bigger piece because it has no chashivas, like a bedrisa. I'm not going to lie on it or sit on it. Says the Gemara, continues the Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Shimon, why is this true? Does it not violate our concept of anything which has a different shiur is not mitzaref at all? It's because the truth is we have three different types of tumas that we're talking about over here in terms of materials. One would be simple tumat maga, and that's a material we give the standard size of a material which is called a baguette, even though that's very small. However, it's usable for patching purposes and so on for a baguette. So that's enough to be a baguette. And it did not have a particular yi'ud in mind. But in this case, you could make something which is normally only mekabel tuma 5 by 5 or 6 by 6 tvachim. You could make it be mekabel tuma if you were metaken it for moshav azav. So suppose you made a seat cover out of it. And a small seat cover that you could put down and that you could sit on in order to avoid destroying the upholstery of the chair. Or I told you my old chavrus and mir 50 years ago only had one pair of pants, so he never sat directly on the benches in the mir because it would rub his pants, and then he went, what was he going to wear? So he'd always take his handkerchief, put his handkerchief down very carefully on the chair, and sit down on the handkerchief. That would be the tikkun for the moshav. So that way, if you set it aside specifically for that purpose, you cut it so that it would make a nice little seat cover. This was very popular, by the way. People used to upholster. They used to crochet these little tiny things to put either on their chairs. You'll find it in old people's homes very often. The chair is covered with a white crocheted thing that other people would use to put on under a kli that's on the table to avoid scratching the table. But it was also popular for protecting the upholstery. You want to sit on the upholstery, I mean, you'd have to reupholster. That was the old days. They used to cover the beautiful couches. They'd cover it with the stick ugly plastic. You couldn't use the couch. But at least it remained beautiful. Of course, you never saw that it was beautiful. But then when the birds would die, you could take off the plastic and use it for a couple of years. But anyway, so it was basically the same idea. You could cut a tefach by a tefach of material, be miyachid for that purpose. Then it would be makabel moshav. Too much moshav is up. So memela, it's theoretically possible that they would have the same shear. And since they would have the same shear, whether it would be sak, or whether it would be beged, or whether it would be or, or whether it would be mafatz, over there, they're, because of that, able to be mitztarif to the larger shear when necessary, even in places where they're not all of the same shear. So this is the Tana. Kitsa mikulan shilosha. Now, the word shlosha doesn't really make sense over here so much, but it's lonura. So if you went ahead and you cut all of these materials, a little bit of each one, in order to make a patch cloth, so you made like a patch cloth cover, that's badavka made out of patches, right? Which people, what do they call that? Patchwork quilting. So you made a patchwork of the different materials. The din over there is that if it's lemishkav, so then the shear would be 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. And if it's lemoshav, it would be a tefach by tefach. And you could make any of these into that. And what's more, in other words, what we're talking about over there in the Mishnah, in the opening of the Mishnah, that was the normal case where you just have a piece that you weren't metakein for something. And remember that everything is yored the tumata b'machshava. Once there's the usage for this purpose, or the tikkun for this purpose, it's going to be mekabel tuma for whatever that purpose was. Memela, if the idea is to lie on it, so then the shir is shlosha or shlosha. If the idea is to sit on it, then it would be enough to have tefach by a tefach. If the idea is to use as a pot holder, so then it could be even a kosher. Now, the truth is, well, we don't mean a pot holder, which would need to be slightly larger. When we talk about achiza, what are we referring to? Amr Shlokish, Amr Avyanai, I'll tell you. Even a mashahu, a kosherhu, is aimed linivula, or b'matnithatan over ro'uila kotzitzeita imim. People use throwaway begotten. And the reason they would use throwaway begotten would be if you're going to let's say, do weaving. So in order to prevent sticking of the chut as it's passed through the shisi, they would put a little bit of suvi in or something like that between passes of the shuttle. They would pass it over the stretched threads of shisi with their fingers. That can cut you. Because it's very, many do this 10 times and eventually it starts cutting through your skin. So they would take a little piece of baguette and use it to put the suvin on, rub it over to protect their hands, and after a couple of times throw it away. But the point is that even a tiny piece of baguette is good for this, and because of that, it would be minastam, even a little bit amount. Or, kotzei te'enim often get their fingers very sticky, because as you pull off the te'enim, you can't avoid a little bit of dripping honey from a te'enim and so on. In order to avoid that, they would use, instead of paper towel, they would use little pieces of the gut and then throw it away. But that was also what we look at state tainim even a little bit to keep your fingertips unsticky. Hadran Allah Kotche Mizbeah. So at last we get to talk about the dinim of Mi'ila, which is normally the way that Masechtos is set up. They allow you to gradually build it up until we finally have a statement of the overall principle, and comes along our Mishnah to say that there seems to be a very fundamental difference between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim in the fundamental principle of Mi'ila. As long as somebody got hana, which is measured in the value of the hana, so the, it's not an amount, it's a value, and that is the worth of a shavakut, is considered to be a measurable hana'a, afa pishalopagam. This is a hana'a even where it caused no damage at all to Hegdesh. You would still be more. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. The Chachamim Amrim, no, that's really not so. Kol davar sheyesh bo pagam. Anything which its standard use causes a pagam, then lo ma'al achiv gom. The meaning of the me'ila would only be in terms of pagima. It's only something that is not used in a way that is pogamit. There, you would be nene based on the value of the hana and not on the pagima. So she'in bo pigam kivan she'nehene ma'al. So let me give you some example. Ketzan. Suppose the wife of the gizbar takes a beautiful necklace that somebody had donated to Hagdash, which she finds in the drawer, and she puts it on her neck. Now she admires herself in the mirror and so on. Now these things are not normally pogim. Or she puts a beautiful ring on her finger. Or somebody donated a cup of zahav, and she uses the cup of zahav to serve with. She's not pogamit. But the moment that she would be nehenet, she would be mo'elet, even though she wasn't pogamit. Now, what about if somebody donates clothing and she wears the clothing? Lavash chaluk. Or the gizbar was b'chaseh b'talit. So in these, or it took a, for that matter, a hatchet that someone had donated, was mivakea or a bekardom. Over there, since the norm is on these usages that you do use up the item, so there loma ala chivgom. So we have to determine what the standard usage is. Hanene min hachatat. So taking now a korban chatat, since it has value to Hagdash, and it is actually pogamable if it's used. So while that chatat is alive, its measurement is in terms of its value. So it has a mum, and you'll now be able to be poded. Anything that you use is pogam. So there you're not going to be mulled unless you're pogam. But if this carbon died, and there's no way to be poded now, even though it has a mum, because ein podinut hakodashim, so there's no way to be poted anyway. So now its Hegdish element is not valued in terms of its monetary value to Hegdish, but by the fact of its being the reshus of it. Once that's true, kivan shenehene ma'al. Now we'll see that we derive these different categories of Megillah from different circuit, actually. And that's what our Gemara is going to get involved in. But first, we need to clarify the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. So on the surface, it would appear that Rabbi Akiva holds that there are no different categories when it comes to Hegdash. It's basically always measured in terms of the value that you received rather than the pagam that you caused. And according to the Chachamim, it would depend on whether it's something with a standard use as pogam or not. But actually, the Braita says that that would be an oversimplification, because in reality, Tana moder Rabbi Akiva l'chachamim b'davar she'esh po pegam. That Rabbi Akiva is made in that if the standard usage is something that would be pogam in the standard usage, then he agrees that if you weren't pogam, you would not be chayav. Ask the Gemara if that's the case, so that they're not arguing anything. The Chachamim said that in a case where you would be pogam, that you have to be pogam. Now Rabbi Akiva is saying, yes, I agree with you. In a case where you'd be pogam, you have to be pogam. Thank you. So you're all saying the same thing. So then, b'maika mifle, what are you arguing about? Omar Rava, I'll give you two examples of what they're arguing about. Levush mitzi'a'a and malmala. Levush mitzi'a'a simply refers to the phenomenon of how someone who would be careful to change his shirt and his undershirt every day will wear the same pair of tzitzit for a month. How do you explain that? Simply because it's the middle beged. So it's the underclothing gets used up because of perspiration and rubbing against the body. The clothing on top is exposed to the atmosphere and your food and anything else. But the baggage in the middle is protected, so it doesn't really get dirty. So therefore, even though ultimately, obviously, you do have to clean your tzitzit, but it's at a rate of such lesser attrition that's what they're arguing about. So Rabbi Akiva is saying, look, for all intents and purposes, you can view that as a diamond ring. Just like you agree that a diamond ring is not pogumable. So this is the same thing as a diamond ring. You're nenet from it, a shavar pruta, then you're chayav. Whereas the Chachomim say that, look, there's a tremendous difference between something that ultimately is meant to be used up, that something that isn't ultimately meant to be used up. So therefore, even a bag of bitziah is used up. That's the point. It's not the rate at which I use it up. It's whether people view it as something that is ultimately disposable. People dispose of diamond rings. Now, the other example is the malmola. Malmola is a fascinating, very modern kind of thing. You know that today we have, let's say, for purposes of remaining warm in camping. So you have these little fold-up aluminum, tiny little things that fold up into a square inch, and that cover you completely. Right? Even less. So this baguette used to fold into the shear of one nut and a half. Amguza and palga amguza. It was made out of such finely woven pishtan that it was only used for very, very special moments, decorative and so on. Nobody would use a thing like that up. It was meant to be kept for those emergency situations. So it's not really used up normally. It's not a beggar that you use up. It's a beggar that you spend a tremendous amount of money for, and then it's taken out only for special purposes. That malmala, even though on the contrary, it's very use-upable, but it's never used in a way that uses it up. Those would be two differences, whether that's considered to be the norm of the use, which is pogim, or a norm of use, which isn't pogim. That's the difference. Tanarabbanan. So now we're going to see where we get all these halachas from the pasuk. The pasuk says, Nefesh kitim'o ma'al v'chata'a bishkaga mikachei Hashem. Now each one of those words is very fundamental. We already saw kachei Hashem, what that refers to. Okay, we learn out Emuri Kachim Kalim and so on. What is considered to be Miyuchad Lashem. But we also have to dash it from the beginning. So let's take a look at the word Nefesh. Nefesh means measuring by the most abstract element of a human being. I don't care who this person manifests as in the world. He could be the king, he could be the Nasi, whatever he is, I don't care, it's the same. So Nefesh means Echad HaYachid, it could be a normal day worker, it could be the Nasi, it could be a Mashiach, it could be anybody. A Nefesh is a Nefesh. So he could be the Kohen Gadol, for all I care. Kitim Ol Ma'al, what is that Lushan, first of all, a Ma'al? So Ma'al means Shinui, but as we're going to see, it means shinui in two different directions, because we find the word used in terms of shinui in two different directions. Let's take a look at the meaning of shinui by a woman who hangs out with another guy. Now, she's hanging out with another guy, but she doesn't want her husband to know about it. So this is the case of the sota, in which she's ma'alabo ma'al, but she has no intent of being discovered. Why? Because if she were discovered, she would have to leave the rishus of her husband. And she doesn't want to leave the rishus of her husband, correct? So we're talking about over here a usage without removing from the rishus, and furthermore, a usage which causes no damage. She's already damaged goods. So the question of whether she's sleeping with somebody else really makes no difference at all in terms of her physical self. On the other hand, so that's ish ki tiste ishto umalo bo ma'al. But we also find, by yima'alu beloevodin, over there, where it says that they were mo'el vayiznu achrei ba'alim, that's also considered to be a me'il. Now over there it means removal from the rishus of vayiznu. So in other words, they took themselves out of the Rishus of Kedusha, out of the Rishus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and went to put themselves into the Rishus. That's why it's called a Baalim. Baalim is a different Rishus. Somebody else owns you, for all intents and purposes. Now, those are two very different things. In the original Pasuk, she doesn't want to switch owners. She wants to retain her original Baal. In the second Pasuk, they want to switch owners, so they go to worship the Baal. All right, so now, you might think that this could be either with a pegima, but no hana'ah, or hana'ah without a pegima. You might think that this would refer to something that could be even mechubar lekarka. You might think that a shliach, she'asa shlichuto, would nonetheless, because an aveira is involved, would not be mechayev the mishalayah, which normally is the din, because ein shliach ledvar aveira. Therefore, the Tzera continues on to say, the case over here is timol ma vichata bishkaga. Now that point of vichata, normally the me'ila per se, would include the idea of vichata. What's the point of vichata? To create a gzer shavet to the dinim of truma. It says, by truma also, the lashon lo yisu alav chet. And this is the famous drush of chet, chet mi truma. A very famous drush that teaches us that me'ila and the usage of truma are exactly the same. And so, we darshan as follows. It says over here, v'chata, so nemar chet betruma, v'never chet b'me'ila. Ma chet amur betruma. So where we're talking about truma. What is the Yisua lav chet? Yisua lav chet is zar ki yochal kodesh. So now a zar comes along, eats something, which belongs to the kohen, and he pays the same thing that a mo'al be'agdash pays, right? Keren v'chomish. Obviously, there's no korban me'ila, but the din of me'ila to, that element, is called the Keren V'chomesh, and then he pays. So first of all, over there, he is pogim because he's eating. So obviously, if he eats the food, he's being pogim. And by definition, eating is a pleasure. He's being neneh. Furthermore, it's the same person that is being pogim and neneh. Furthermore, he is being pogim the thing which he's being neneh from. It's not two different issues. And furthermore, pegimato v'hana'ato comes all at one time. Not that he would be poging something. For instance, he turns it into coals, and now he warms himself at the coals. But over there, say, well, he's being pogame by burning the wood, and he's being nene by warming himself. Yes, but it's not at the same time. Okay, so, and furthermore, by truma, we have the remarkable din of learning out from gamatem, that shliach shel adam kemoto. Now, of course, shliach shel adam kemoto by truma has nothing to do with chet, but taking the word chet chet to me'ila, by definition, there is no way to do me'ila without doing a chet. And if shlucho shel adam kemoto by truma, and shlucho shel adam kemoto by me'ila, it must mean that surprisingly, when it comes to me'ila, shlucho shel adam kemoto, despite the fact that it's a chet. So this is a violation of the general rule of Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera. Okay? So true, af chet hamur b'me'ila, pogem v'ne'ne, u'mi shepagam ne'ne, u'bedavar shepogem bo ne'ne, u'pegimato v'anato ke'echad. And it has to be talush min hakarka. If I left that one out, sorry. Just like by truma, you cannot give truma while it's mechuber. You cannot be mo'el while something is mechuber, which accounts for the problems that we had before by the soder, by the how in the world are you being mo'el. That was our proof that the gritty pieces that get into the chumas are useful for the grinding down purposes. Fine. But whatever, you need it, it should be tolush. And a shliach is also shlichuto, is considered to be the work of the mishalayach by me'ila as well. Ainli ela ochel v'nene. Some take out these words, b'davar she'im bo pegam. So you need to have somebody who eats and is nene, mashma himself. But how about if the eating in the hanah is achieved by feeding somebody else? So minayin achilatov achilat chaviro, hanayatov hanayat chaviro, hanayatov achilat chaviro. achilato v'anayat chaviro. So I put some of it into the other guy's mouth. How do I know that over there, if I eat half and I give it to another guy to eat half? So he was mena from it. Let's say I use the shemen amishcha, my own skin, and not his skin. So how do I know that that would be considered to be mitzarfim zeimze? And by the way, it would be mitzarfim zeimze without any shear. Afil is man merubah. That's not a din in achil. That's a din in anah. Even if I am eating, minayin, Talmud lomar, tim ol ma'al. Tim ol ma'al means under any and all circumstances, any type of usage that is extended mi'ila, mikol makom. Now, you might think that if I'm comparing it to truma with the word chet chet, so then ima chet ha'amur b'truma, lo tziref shtei achilot ke'echad, just like by chet, it needs to be one act of achila, needs to be b'chtei achilat pras. Av chet ha'amur b'mi'ila lo tziref shtei achilot ke'echad. Couldn't have two separate acts of achila being mitzurav. How do I know? Minayin achala yom ve'achala machar. I feel this man meruba. I eat a half a zayit today. Eat a half a zayit. Well, it's not measuring half a zayit necessarily. We're talking about half a pruta today, half a pruta tomorrow, or 3 years later for that matter. I feel this man meruba. We said I feel the shalit shalim earlier. Talmud lomar timo ma'al mikol makom. Timo ma'al means look at the fact of the meila. In ba'ach chet amur b'truma pegimato va'ana'ato is dafka ke'echad and be'echad. How do we know that we shouldn't apply it literally, that it has to be everything taking place together in the same person? How do we know that that's all mitztaref? Timo ma'al, mikol makom. It is the act of me'ila that's important, not the asher yochal that's important. I mean, by definition, if you eat truma, you're being motziyat lechulin. So, if you took money of hagdish and you went ahead and you were motziyat for chulin usage, so okay, I understand that would be the equivalent of a meila of the type that you find by truma. But how about where there's no transfer? In other words, how about if lemaisa, the person has money of Agdash, which is meant to be in his rishos? Or maybe he's a gizbar, so he owns all of these things, he keeps them all in his rishos. Or it's somebody who donated money to Agdash, hasn't brought them in yet. He's got his shekel that he wants to give to the Trumas HaShekel when they'll come and collect it. But meanwhile, it's in his house. So in these cases, there would be no shinui reshut if he uses that thing for hagdash. So let's say he takes kinei zavim, kinei zavod, kinei yoldot, he shok al shiklo, and he's evi chatato v'ashamo. It's all mina hagdash. So if it's from hagdash to hagdash, how in the world is he being maya? He's not in any way changing the reshut of it, is it? Because it was in his rishus at the beginning, and now he's buying these birds, or he's buying this korban, and he's going to bring it into the Beit HaMikdash to be brought for him. So in what sense would that be being motzei min HaKodesh L'chol? How would we know that the moment that he's motzei it for these purposes, he's mauls, according to Rabbi Shimon, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, how do we know that the moment that we do the zrika on him, that he's mauls? Whatever, as the case may be, but how do we know that that's considered to be an act of meila despite the fact that there was no real shinui reshus? Here too, Talmud lomar, timo ma'al mikol makom. However the meila is achieved, it doesn't have to be in precisely the same way. It's the fact of the meila. Why do they need mitztarfim? Umbitzorech Rabbi Shimon l'tzerufei. I thought Rabbi Shimon was the man Yomar who says that kol shehu lemakot. You're right. Don't say mitztarfim or ein mitztarfim. Say ein tzrichim mitztarfim. That's the point. Ein mitztarfim doesn't mean they're not mitztarif. It means they're not mitztarif. It's a completely different thing. What kind of tziruf are you talking about? It's not tziruf. They're not mitztarif. They are what they are. That's all he's saying. So the word makes perfectly good sense. What mitztarfim? They're not mitztarfim. He means exactly what it says. Not because you can't put them together, but because there's no meaning in putting them together. Any shear of each one would be mechayev. Habeged v'asak, asak v'ha'or, ha'or v'ha'mapatz, kulam mitztarfim zeim zeh. Omer v'shimen, you know why? Because even though in normal usage we say that they're different shearing, but since if you set them for that purpose, they would all be the same size of a tefach by a tefach. Memela, it's considered to be shiurim shafe. Tana, kitzam mikulan, and you made a beget lemishkaf, it would be a shir of shlosha. You made a beget lemoshav, would be a shir of tefach. You made a shear of a beget for achiza, it would be kosher. What is achiza? Because it could be tiny and yet be made the nivula for weaving. And to keep your fingers from getting sticky. Hadran aloch, kodshe mizbeach, we made it. Hanene minayeg de shavapruta. Alpha Pishalor Pagama al Diver of Yakiva Vachamim. No, depends. Cold over Shiyeshbo Pagam no ma'al achiv gone. It's only where Imbo Pagam, given Shinene ma'al. Ketzad, not Ankitala b'tzavara, or Taba'at b'yada, or Shata b'kot shel zahav, given Shinene ma'al. On the other hand, Lavash b'chaluk, Kisa b'talit, Bika b'kardom, over there, Loma al achiv gone. Anene minachatat, Kishikhaya loma al achiv gone. But kishimeta, since ain podina da kodashim, lachilan le klavim, kivan shenene ma'al. Tana, in reality, made a rabbi akiva la chachami, bedavar shiyesh bo pagam. Well, so then the Micah Mifage, that's what the chachamim said, davar shiyesh bo pagam loma al. Omar Rava, the definition is the difference. What is the meaning of davar shiyesh bo pagam? So they'd be arguing about, let's say, a lavush mitziyah, or a malmala, where the normal usage is not pogim. Tan Rabban, nefesh ach, this means echad ayachid, echad anasi, echad amashiach, kitim o ma'al. What is the meaning of ma'al? Ma'al means a shinui, of two types. On the one hand, v'chenu omer, v'ish ish kitiste ishto, umalo bo ma'al, and on the other hand, it says, "Vayimaalu veloyavoteim, vayiznu alcharei habaalim." Yocho pagam velo nene nene velo pagam, or yocho karka, or a shliach shasa shlichuto. That then you, the shliach, would be the one who would be boel. Talmud lomar vechatan. A note that it says chet lo tisalav chet by truma. And it says chata bishkaga by meila. So just like chata mur b'truma is by definition ishki yocha kodesh is pogim v'nene, and furthermore misha pagam nene, and furthermore b'davar shepogim bo nene, and furthermore pigimato v'anato is keechad, and furthermore it has to be talush min hakarka in order to eat it. And furthermore, we learn from Kentarimu Gamatem that Bishliach also Shlichuto. So to the Chet Hamur B'Meila is Pogem V'Nene, Misha Pagam Nene, Bidavasha Pogem Bo Nene, Pegiba Tova Da Toke Echad, Bitolush Min Hakarka, and a Shliach Shasa Shlichuto would be Mechayev the Mishaleach, even though it's a Dvar Avera. Eli Ella Ocha Venena B'Davar Shein Bo Pagam. How do you know Achilato V'Achilat Chaveiro? That word Shein Bo Pagam, we weren't gores. Achilato V'Achilat Chaveiro. Hanayato V'Hanayat Chaveiro. Hanayato V'Achilat Chaveiro. Achilato V'Hanayat Chaveiro. Shemitztarfim Zeim Zeh. Afilu Lizman Ruba. Aminayim. Tamid Lomar Timo Ma'al Mikom Makom. How do you know that you don't need any shear of tzirot? So minayin achal yom v'achal machar, or for that matter, afilu zman meruba. Talmud lomar timo ma'al mikol makom. I will say chet amur b'truma. We said begimato והנאתו אז כאחד מניין לאכילתו ואכילת חברו אפילו מכאן ועד שלוש שנים מניין תעמד לא אומר תימו מה מכל מקום ומה נעצה מה חטא אמור בתרומה עד שיצא מן ההגדר שלך But how about if it's min hakadosh l'kadosh? They're gone. Lokach kinei zavim v'kinei zavot v'kinei yodot. Or maybe he was shokel and shekel, and then he was maybe chatato v'yashamo from hekdesh money. How do we know that either like Rabbi Shimon kivan shotzima out of Rabbi Shimon, or like Rabbi Yehuda kivan shiyazarak at shizrok adam? But how do we know bechalal that you can be well in such circumstances? Minai. Talmud Omar, Timol Ma'al Mikom Makom.
That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11.
I don't know why. It's just not that. Ended with a very clear definition yesterday of three things of which the third is intensity. Maybe you could say over that sentence.
From yesterday's swinging, you want to hear?
Yeah. Rabbi summed it up.
I got to be serious. We're talking about two of three things. And he spoke about
mode. I don't remember.
Was it? He spoke about mode. Yeah, no, we did speak about intensity. We were talking about mode, shiur, and the last mishnah was intensity. Avatuma v'ladatuma.
Right, because Rabbi said mode is this, shiur is this.
Well, okay, fine. Right. So far we've been talking about shiur. The truth is, we're still in the middle. Still in the middle of Tziruf. There's even an element of Tziruf, a new issue of Tziruf comes in the very end. We've been talking about Tziruf across the board, which is what the parak is about. The entire fourth parak is about Tziruf. Yesterday's daf dealt with Tziruf Lagavi Tuma. And we saw that there were three issues that we needed to take into consideration. The Tuma Seishava, which is the mode of Tuma, which I'll discuss in a moment. It's Machlokas, really Rashi and Rambam. Shiur Shava, which is Kipshute. And then there's the intensity of the tumor. That is, can we be mitzarif, let's say, a vlada tumor, which is a rishon with a sheni, in order to be mitami a shlishi? That was the intensity issue. The mode is a machlokas, because Rashi learns that if you have something that would be mitami, let's say, liyoy mechot, and it's currently being metame, for instance, Sheretz v'Nevela. It's being metame right now, b'magra, even though l'maisa Nevela has a different tumor that's available to it, namely the tumor of Masa, which Sheretz doesn't have, that's considered to be tumor seshove. The Rambam holds that that's not tumor seshove. We'll see that it's a little bit in the gear today's Mishnah that's coming up, which we'll discuss in a moment. But as long as these things are shavim, the first two are shavim, we can be mitzarev, even though the intensity is in shava. The intensity we can be mitzarev as far as the lesser tum is concerned, so that a rishon and a sheni can be mitam together to make something a shlishi. We'll continue today. Oh, I just wanted to throw you over, by the way. Two inyanim that are very fresh from yesterday's daf. It was a long daf, so we didn't really have much time to talk. One is that Rav Reuven Margolius has a long mimer on the strange issues of yesterday's Gemara. You know, Reb Shimon bar Yochai, and who's Reb Shimon bar Yochai, and why do they want some? There's a lot of very, very weird things. Why Reb Shimon bar Yochai got so angry he couldn't remember that he'd been maftiyah. Reb Yossi, he's not going to hurt his charm. Al-Yavzer ben Yitzolovi, and Bechlali, as what Shaykh Mera Halacha Bifnei Rabbi, to say over a mocker to Posik is not Mera Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. Say over Halacha is Mera Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. And there was Yad Semi Akimis Svasecha, Nikr Shetam Michochamata. I mean, you know, that's not the point. Nikr Shetam Michochamata. We don't find that in other places where we have, we have that Mamer, like Bayeli. So say, no, Mamer Shakra Kamut. Very good, you're right, but too bad, no, drop that. But not Stam, Nikr Shetam Michocham. I mean, that isn't the issue. Plus, why did they be acharav mielech? It's been acharav mielech. What's the b'chlal achara? You need two people to do the neis. When they said nochem ish gamza, they needed an acharav mian. Like, what's b'chlal acharav? An acharav who's going to go with them? So anyway, in Lamaisa, he ends up showing from Hashvah many different places. First of all, the Shas in Minchin, and then various midrashim that bring over the same Maisa, that the Maisa Sharia was very different. They were looking for someone to be Mishamish Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. That's Rabbi Achra, not to be Mekai in the Nes. And then in the years over there, Rav Yossi wanted to go. He was unable to be Makabal, Rav Yossi be Mishamishim. He wanted a kid to be Mishamishim. Rav Yossi was Mishamishim. The gears, the correct gears, it seems to be the exact opposite. Therefore, I'm not Makabal, your Shimush. Ya Ella, not Lo, Ella, Yazor, I've been into love. Go back home. I don't want to have you with me. Because I wasn't a Kabbalah at a time. Tochav should be Misham Mishri. It's a complete opposite from the way the Sigur reads it over here. Okay, but then some other issues that needed to be dealt with, which, I mean, how come it doesn't mention that he wasn't Mazikim in the end? Because he obviously, with the Gemara and Yuma, that all your love karma tipe domim, it's clear that he did go home and discussed it afterwards. He went along. Okay. Plus, what's the kind of business is this? Rav Latif ben Charash goes, ask for Shimon by Achaya Shaila. It comes back to Yeshiva, and the Yeshiva says, oh, he knows something. What is Rav Matya ben Charash going over to ask him a question? A lot of very strange issues in the sugya that change al pi the gersos. That's first of all. Secondly, I wanted to mention also that this Gemara is one of the very important riyas in the machlokesin between Ramah and Megroth. Legabe, the dinim of the how one is allowed to dress. What is considered to be the iser of dressing like the umays?
Birds. Not a bird out there.
To you, it's a bird. To a dream by your way, it would be a bird.
It'd be barbed.
Yeah, because the shaila over here is, why doesn't the Gemara mention in the original attempt to avert the gezera that instead of saying over here that Reb Reuven was siper kumi, it should say that he was mislabish gemoyim. He apparently didn't need to be mislabish kamam. He was dressed like a normal person.
Only the hairstyle.
The only thing that needed to be addressed was his hairstyle. Right? And Lamaisa the Ma'arig brings kamarayas like that. That you see that there was no... The cases in the Gemara, like for instance, famous case, Mayim Achrodim, Mayim Rishonim, Achilu B'sar Chazir. Such a guy wasn't Neitel Yadayim, he figured he was a guy. What do you mean? He walked in looking like a guard. He wasn't wearing his capote. I mean, obviously he's a guard. So it's clear that is not the case, that there was no minhag to wear specifically Jewish clothing, from which the Mari concludes that besides which he says, whoever heard of such a thing? I mean, all of Klal Yisrael should be chaitim and without any hope at all. I mean, who doesn't dress normally? Did you ever see anybody dress in some kind of special garb, which is Jewish garb? That's the way it was in his time. So he therefore concludes that the dinim of Chukai Sa'akum is only where the famous psak, which the Ramah also brings, that is only where the clothing is miyuchad for some purpose of Akum. So there were times in which they dressed specially in red clothing, like the Catholics, or they have a clothing which is part of some type of wild freaks. That's perfect.
What about a graduation?
St. Patrick's Day.
Or what about a graduation?
An excellent example.
What about a graduation gown and cap?
Not that that's not in terms of Lucas Akum. It's in terms of the simon of the event.
That's how I discovered I was Jewish. I was working in a Catholic prison.
And you were wearing a green tie.
And all of a sudden, one day, they all showed up with green ties, and I looked at them, and they looked at me.
Okay,
so in any event, that's how one of the riots that he brings, one of the famous riots, this riot over here from removing Ben Estrubli, and the riot from Chibul Bosa Chazir.
What about Parma Blu-ray, isn't it? Why is it Kumi any different than Blu-ray?
It isn't, it's awesome. That's his riot. You see that they needed to go out to be Misapra Kumi. Obviously, he did that in order. Igra talks about that. He brings numerous cases like the story of David, that they had Arba Meos Yelodim, who were all had long blurios, and you know that actually there's a Kesef Mishnah about this in the Hilchos Akkud that talks about all of these Gemaras. So we see that they did go around dressed like dressed mamish, like the way that the soldiers would dress, the Akkum, the senators would dress, and so on and so forth. So what was the heter for that? So he says, first of all, it could be that those were special cases in which they were needed for a particular purpose, in which they were matrik v'tzarech, here, saving Klal Yisrael, whatever the case was. But the Kesef Mishnah also has a very fascinating suggestion. He says that the Torah does not define. It's one of those dinim like the Yisr of Malach on Chol HaMoed. The Torah doesn't define to what extent it's makbid on how far do we take chukai sa'atom. Okay, you're going to say the haircut is mamish, the particular type of haircut. So it was mashir the dover b'dei chachomim to define this halacha as many issues like that. And the chachomim weren't gazer in b'chlal, except that they were matred to be deiche, the din of chukai sa'atom. They didn't define cases where it was nogea, the geopolitical situation, where somebody is dressing for purposes of politics and international relationships. That's not bechlal included in chukai sa'akum. It's not that you need to be derech chukai sa'akum. So the purpose in the dress is also fundamental, according to that. So in other words, if I am dressing in this way, not in order to be like the Akum because of their chukim, but because of the need for interrelating with them and so on and so forth, then I'm not being Isaac in chukai sa'akum. Yeah, that's one possibility. I mean, this is a Kesef Mishnah. Okay, so anyway, we're getting along today, and the Sabbath Dash has been practicing, he's getting frustrated.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Ha'orla v'kloya keren starfim zeim zeh. We have dinim of tziruf also legabe isurim in terms of bitl. Special halacha of bitl of orla and kloya keren is that they require 200 to 1. Normal bitl is 60 to 1. By truma we have a bitl of 100 to 1. By kloya keren and orla we have a bitl of 200 to 1. That's when it comes to a yovesh biyovesh mixture. If we have lach b'lach, in which we have two minim, and the tam is nikkur, so it's b'nais and tam like anything else. Nice and tam, you know, shayrit, suppose I have two things that taste the same, and they are made out of different isur. Some of it is orla, some of it is kloya keren. If I would have only had one of them, I wouldn't have been able to taste it. Because I have both of them, now I can taste the isur in it. Or, in terms of yavish biyavish, same thing. I have, let's say, a saw b'matayim, b'in 199. One saw out of 200. Except that it's made of half of oral and half of kloya keren. Says the Tanakhama, mitzdarfim zeimze. Rabbi Shimon aymer ena mitzdarfim. What do you mean ena mitzdarfim? Asks the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon dafka holds you don't need tziruf. I thought Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of a shir bichlal. Mitzar Rabbi Shimon tzirufe. Or tiny Rabbi Shimon of a kol shehula makis. His shita bichlal is that you're over on an akila of kol shehul. So the Gabi, what are we being mitzarif at that? If kosher already is sufficient to asim, to me ain't tzirichim mitzarif. It means over here you don't need tzira for a shiur of iser, according to Rabbi Shimon.
What does it
mean? It's not. It wouldn't matter. In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, in terms of the ikar iser, you don't. It doesn't matter whether you would even need less than a kezayis. So what do we need tzira for?
To
ask
the whole.
That's something else. The Gemara is asking over here. What? Why would we use the word mitzarfin? Because mashbi even lagabi is sheer of achilah.
And as you hold, if you eat half a orla and half a kalai kerem, you'll be
eat any amount of either, you'd be chayav. So what's the difference in the other?
It's not called
eat. Ah, no, so then you would need it. You would need a kazayas, which is what it's saying over here, instead of a bigger sar.
Yeah. Of the mixture, of the
cocktail. Yeah, of the cocktail. Exactly. Now, this is the closing Mishnah in the series of which Barnea raised earlier the question of the three categories that we have a Gabit Tziruf for Tuma. This is yet another issue of Tziruf for Tuma, but over here the question is Tziruf in terms of the thing that becomes Tame rather than the Mitame. And the question over here is fascinating, because the Rambam learns in the Pirush HaMishnah is that this Mishnah is not concerned with the same elements of Tziruf that we had before. And we'll see why he says that. However, as others try to be mefarishit, aliba the dinim of Tziruf we had before. Now, just in the way of introduction, we know that when it comes to various types of begodim, we have, depending on the material, different shiurim. Because if you have cloth, then a shiur of 3x3. Now, there's 2 3x3s. It's important not to get mixed up. There's 3x3 tvachim, and that's benogea, the shiur of midras hazav. You need 3x3 tvachim. In terms of begadim, even 3x3 etzbaot, by normal cloth, since it's roi to use. We'll see. There's other elements of patching that are coming up. But in terms of, let's just talk about now, in terms of midras hazav, you start off with the begadim, cloth, of 3x3 tvachim. You go up to the next level, which is a much lower quality cloth, sackcloth. That's sack that's made out of hair. Basically, there you need 4x4. If you go to something which is harder, such as skins, or there you need 5x5 tvachim in order for it to be chashuv for a bedet. And if you go to something even more coarse, more difficult to make into a beged, which is mapatz, which is basically a weave that's made out of, you know, things like reeds and so on, over there you need 6x6 in order for it to be considered a kalitim in mekabel tuma. Now, according to the rules that we had in the previous Mishnayos, l'chora, if you have shiurim that are different, it shouldn't be mitzaref and all. And the shiloh of here is that the Mishnah nonetheless says that beged and sock, or sock and or and mapatz, and I say it that way because this is how Rashi learns elsewhere, that each one is mitzuraf only with the one that's closest to it. And that beged is similar to sock, and sock is rough, and it's similar already to or, and so on. Okay, others, I mean, we'll see, even according to Rashi, there's cases where that wouldn't be absolutely true. But Kula Mitztarp and Zemze, each one is Mitzuraf with the one beneath it, even though it's a different shear. Omer Rabbi Shimon Matam, why is that true? And those who don't learn like the Rambam say, and why is this not a violation of the normal law that we had until now, that you will not be Mitzaref things that have different shear, you know? Since each of these things, when it comes to make a moshav of a zav, we'll see the case basically is, if you're making just an area where a person could sit, he could sit, his rear end will fit on a shear of tefach, and therefore we'll basically consider that to be the same shiur for all of these cases. That's how many learn. So in other words, if I'm making a, I want to put a little piece of skin over a tlaya, as a tlaya over a chamor's blanket, so that the adam can sit on it comfortably, I'll put a tefach al tefach in order to make it a mokum roi l'mosha, and I would use the same, no matter what the material is, whether it's sack or mapatz or so on. And Mamela, they all have in this one area something which they share.
And now this shear is bigger for each fabric.
It's, but not in this case. We got the Moshav, this is Rory Moshav, and Mamela will be Makabu Tumas Moshav.
For Medras, the shearing is the same.
For Moshav.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Now, at least this is the way many learn. Now the question is, so what? I mean, you could say the same thing, Lagabe Shurim, I mean, Lagabe Tumas Shada. let's say the case that we were talking about before, and this is why I said that Rashi's pshat in the earlier Mishnah, that tumasam shave may be in terms of a particular case of tumasam shave, in which, let's say, sheretz and nevela are both matame b'maga, and that's the case right now. Somebody's in touch b'maga with a half a shear of sheretz and a half a shear of nevela. Lamaisa won't be mitzvah because the shiurim are different. But the eifin of the tumah, Rashi was tining, in this case is the same. So would you say because there is one case it's the same, so therefore across the board will be mitzvah? Because I mean that's what she's saying over here. These things will be mitzvah because there's a case in which they would be the same.
In any case.
And in any case they'll be mitzvah. I mean that doesn't follow the way we've been learning until now. So the Rambam says in the Pirkei Mishnayim that the din of the Hakpada, Richie Darwin, the din of the Hakpada on Shiurim Shaveh is not said Lagabi the Mitzamim. It's only said Lagabi the Mitzamim. So the previous Mishnah has much stricter criteria than this Mishnah does. When it comes to the Mitzamim, that which is Mekabel Tuma, we are willing to accept some element of similarity, and then they will be mitzuref together. Says the Gemara Tana, Kitsan mikulam shalosha, or actually, probably the correct use is to leave out the shalosha. Kitsan mikulam, if you now, and there's two ways of learning this, just as there was in the Ru'in the Tami B'Moshe. Kitsan mikulam can mean from any of the above, which is how some learn. Or it could mean, in order to make a patch, a person will sometimes use quilting. And they'll put together little pieces like the women make quilts. What do they call those gentlemen? They have those
patchwork quilts.
Okay, so in a patchwork quilt, Grata's very nice. You put together a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and you have a little party with your friends, and you have a beget. So because people will do, this is the other way of learning, mikulam, you would mix all of them in a patch. So memela, depending on what the patch is for, it will be makabel, the tuma that it is suited for. So kitza mikulam lasamihem beget. If the purpose of this beget is lemishkav, so then the shear would be 3x3. If the purpose of the beget is to sit on, then the shear would be tefach. If the purpose of the beget is to serve as a potholder type of thing, lachiza, then any shiur is sufficient. When we say lachiza, what do you mean? Omer shlogzim rabbiyani shekain omed the navala. What you do is sometimes people that are basic in making threads, so the thread can burn them as it's being pulled through their fingers. So in order to allow the threads,
they wear a glove,
they take a piece and they hold the thread with a little piece, so then it's mamish kosher. I mean, a potholder wouldn't be kosher, but this is just, they're basically like a thimble. That's why we have such a small shear. V'matnitatana, ho'yil v'ro'i l'kotzitzei te'inim. People who are working with te'inim, they don't want to get all sticky with the leakage from the te'inim, which makes it difficult. Yeah, but they'll put something small, and it's also, that's what we're calling kosher. It would be that in the shear of you.
It would just be smaller than the tefach.
Correct. Hadron Allah scratching his bayar. Now this parak already begins a completely new aspect, which we haven't dealt with until now, except sort of agava the sugyas. We've been speaking until this point about the things that are mekabel dinim of me'ila, at what point and what type of things are included and so on. But as far as the pu'ulat ha-me'ila is concerned, what defines the act that is mo'el? We haven't really dealt with that yet at all. And that's what finally we're sinking our teeth into, the things that one can be mo'el on. That's completed. Now we can actually talk about what is the pu'ula of me'ila. So ha'ne'ne min ha'hegdesh of the pruta, So Rabbi Akiva seems to be saying that hana'a of a shavar pruta is what defines the shiur of me'ila, no matter what the impact of that me'ila is on the hagdash that he was mauled in. Now, we've already seen time and again throughout the Masechta, we take it for granted, that there's two types of me'ila. Starting already from base on the base, we have a distinction. There's a me'ila on something which is a made to be a consumable, used up in some fashion. And over there, indeed, the shear, as we assumed until now, the shear is where the pegima of the thing, you caused the damage in it of a shavapruta, not just that you were nenef from it. And then we have things that are not omed beflal to be used up, like a klisharis is made out of gold. Definitely isn't meant to be used up. You can use this for centuries. Over there, the hana'a of it would be, the shavapruta would be sufficient. Rabbi Akiva seems to be saying, we'll see in the Gemara that that's not what he means, but Rabbi Akiva seems to be saying that the pegiba is not an issue, and we measure only the hana'a. Whereas the chachonim come along to be mechalek between things that are made to be used up and things that are not made to be used up. For chachamim omrim, kol davar sheyesh bo pegam lo ma'al ad sheyivgom. Something which is in its essence pegimable, the me'ila is defined by the pegima. Whereas she'en bo pegam, if it's not used up, kivan shenene ma'al, then the shear indeed is a shear of a shavaprut of hana'a. What do we mean? Ketzad. Let's say that we have a woman who comes along and is natnak talavet savara. She takes a chain of hagdash and she puts it around her neck and goes to the ball. Or tabat biyada. Or shata bekoshel zahav. She takes the klisharis and drinks out of the koshel zahav. Over there, the shiur would be kivan shenehene ma'al. The shiur is the hana'a and not the pegima. These things are not aimed to be bubbled. On the other hand, somebody puts on a chaluk, lavash bechaluk. Now chaluk is used up. Kisa betalit. Talit is used up.
I mean, they're worn eventually?
They're worn.
They get worn out?
They get worn out. They get sweaty. You use it and it's not worth less. Obviously, you know, the store will not take it back. You wore the clothes when you tried to give it back for. Or, bika bekardon. You take a hole of hagdish and you use it. So you were pro-game in it. So in all of those cases, lo ma'al ad sheyivgom. Over there, the hana'a per se is not sufficient to be koveya the me'ila. It's the impact upon the hagdish that of a shavapruta that defines the shiur of the me'ila. Hane'ne min achatat kishiyichaya. Lo ma'al ad sheyivgom. If you have a chatat, and we'll see in the Gemara, this is talking about, actually we discussed this earlier, but this is talking about a chatas, which is a balas mum. It's not omed es lemechira. And therefore, anything that is pogim in its value is measured in terms of value. That was its use for hagdish. So you would not be moled unless you actually were pogim it. Whereas if it was now meta, and it's no longer has any use, I'm not able to sell it anymore, so there are kivat shenehene ma'al. All that's important is the hana'a. Of course, we saw before that hagdish that died, the me'ila is only derabbanan, but it's no longer kachi Hashem.
Why can't it be a chatas that
was? Well, the Gemara, we'll see in the Gemara. Tana, made Rabbi Akiva l'chachom. The Braisa makes it clear that our initial understanding of Rabbi Akiva was insufficiently subtle. Actually, of course, Rabbi Akiva agrees that Chachomim Lasi, the mocker of all these halachas is a very complex drush of the Teres Kehanim, but the Rabbi Akiva is certainly not chelik on the Iker Yisod that there are two types of me'ila. He is meida bedover sheyesh bo pegam. Of course, that if it's something that is made to be nifgam, then it's only a shiur that's defined by shavakut pegima. So why does he say afa pishalo pegam? Ah, the Micah Miflege. Amarava Bilavush Mitzi'a'a or Malmala. Let's say we're talking now in the Mishnah over here, somebody puts on a chaluk. Chaluk is exposed.
And therefore, if it's exposed, it's going to get dirty, it's going to rub up against walls, it's going to be rained on, whatever is going to happen to a chaluk. The same thing would be true if somebody is wearing an undergarment. Since it's next to his body, it's going to get sweaty, and it's not returnable. Right? But suppose he wears a beged mitziah. He wears a beged that is not against his skin, and it's not exposed either. It's the chaluk that's doing you in. It's raising the temperature against your gufiyah. Killing him. Now he's exposing his mitzvah.
There's a limit to how far he
goes. You're kidding. It never used to be. What happens? Back in the old days.
The old days, yeah.
So the beged mitziyah actually is a very interesting machlokas rishonim. The Rambam's approach seems to be, in the Pirshei Mishnayos, that it's the mode of usage. It's not a different type of beged. It was determining the consumable, comestible, as opposed to the purely aesthetic and so on. No, it's that since he put it on as a beged mitziyah, it was clear that his intent was to be shaver it. And all he was interested in was the hana'ah that he could have in terms of showing it off or whatever. Not the difference in terms of the beged itself. Although the Pirush of Malmala, some learned that it means they had a beged, I guess we would call it, they have these space age begotten that you can fold up into nothing. But that if you get lost, you're
space blanket.
The space blanket, they call it. So this was that. This was their equivalent of a space blanket. You could actually take a beged that was so thin. It was made out of pishta and it was tiny, and you would be able to fold it up, and it would fit inside of a nut. We've got a nutshell. So
mithril.
Huh?
Mithril?
It wasn't quite that doctor. And it would fit inside of a little nut. They carried this around, and in a pinch you could wear this thing. So, the question is that why? That seems to be the most pegumable.
Right.
A type of beged, if it's so fine, right? So, some learn that the pshat is, because someone who wears such a thing, if it's a pshat like the Rambam, someone who wears such a thing is extremely careful not to let it become purple. So the intent will always be, if he's wearing a malmala, that it's something that could be pogum, but that he doesn't want to be pogum. He has a great deal of concern for it. Others say it's a very strange pshat, that since it's something that is so delicate, so it's not aimed to be pogum, because it's something that would be worn only in unique circumstances, and therefore it isn't meant to be used up. It's a little bit tough. Okay, so in any event, in those cases, you have a machlokas. So Rabbi Akiva says, look, bottom line is that it's going to be used up. The question is, you're saying that the mode in which you're using it, or the attempt in the creation of the beged, is to give it as long a life as possible. That's all very nice, but you certainly don't call that something that isn't meant, or isn't aimed to be ultimately used. Right, so the question is whether we're looking at something which is now not just usable, but that it's on some level being used up, or is the pshat that the mode of the usage is to use it up? That's the machlokas between the Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim. As Tosis points out, this is a little bit of a vague type of hagdorah, because you can tell me that a kosher zov is also ultimately going to be used up. Use it for 500 years and you're gonna wear it down. So I said, well, but that's really too much. So again, the shear is not easily defined. But certainly Rabbi Akiva agrees to the basic halacha. Turn around on it. Nefesh, when it says nefesh ki timo mal, v'chatat, so on and so forth, that nefesh tells me that it's any nefesh. After it's not status that is important, it's the fact that you are a living being, Echad HaYakid, the Echad HaNasi, the Echad HaMashiach. I don't care what your status is. I don't care even if you were someone who had been Mashuach with the Shemen HaMishka, and therefore you're a very holy man. And it has no impact on your rights to utilize Hekdesh. It's still going to be Machai of you. Kitimo Ma'al. What does that mean, Kitimo Ma'al? Ma'al means a Shinui. V'cheinu Omer, Ish ish ki tiste ishto ma'alo bo ma'al. What is the pshat of ma'alo bo ma'al? That she was mishaneh, her loyalty, and was used by someone else. Or it says vayima'alu ve'elohe avotehem vayzanu acharei ha'ba'alim. So there too, they turned aside from the reshus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the reshus of the ba'alim. Now, the shayla is over there. The way the Tosis learns it, these are two separate inyanis. The din of the Ma'alut Elohei Avotehem is telling me that a Shinui Rishus from Hekdesh is Me'ila. In other words, if I take something, even though all that I did was I took it out of the Rishus of Hekdesh, and I used it to pay a bill, and I went to the Makolet. Now, there's no direct Hanoi yet of this thing.
Why not?
But I wasn't yet Nana. But the giving it over into a Rishus of non-Hegdish, not that I had direct enough from the thing for myself, right, is also considered to be a mi'ila. The case of the Isha, the case of the Isha is a case in which you have hana'a without a pegima, because l'maisa, we're not talking about to stay, we're not talking about a betula, so there's no pegima. But there's a hana'a, so the mi'ila over there would imply even a mi'ima without a pagam. Yocho pagam velo nehenet. O nehenet velo pagam. Now you might think that in a case where there was a mi'ila where you were pogam without any hana'a. So what does that mean? You caused damage to Hekdesh. You tore, let's say, something of Hekdesh without putting it on. So over there, the pegima is a reality, but the dana is not a reality. O nene, or you were nene in something which could be pogam, and you weren't pogam. Velo pagam. So you might think that something which is a shayak to pegima, nene itself, would be sufficient. Or you might think b'mechubin lekarka, something that was b'chubin lekarka would also be included, because a woman is considered to be gidulei karka. Or you might think shliach shorse shlichuto. You might think that if a shliach does a shlichut, so we would say ein shliach ledvar avera, which is normally the way we look at things. And look, you know, the shliach was nene, it doesn't mean the mishalayach was going to be chayin. Tamud omar v'chat'ah. Why does it say v'chat'ah? Because it comes to tell me a gzer shava to truma. And we know the famous chet chet mitruma, we learn here too. Ne'emar chet mitruma, ve'ne'emar chet b'mi'ila. We find the same lashon, lo tisu alav chet, by truma, as we do v'chat'ah by mi'ila, which teaches us that just like the chet ha'umur b'truma is a reference to eating truma by a zar, and clearly if he eats truma, he's pogam, and then furthermore, by truma, mi shepagam nehene. It's not that one person can be pogam and the other person is nehene. The pegima and the hana'a are interrelated. If I'm eating, then I'm the one who's being pogam and I'm the one who's being nehene. And furthermore, just like by truma, davar shepogam bo nehene, it's that which you're being pogam that is giving you the hana'a, not that in the course of being nana, you were pogam something else. And furthermore, pegimato v'ana'ato ke'echad, you did the pegima and the hana'a at one time. Some learn this means that it had to be in one day, which is again part of the sugya that we'll see later on. U'betolush min akarka, by definition, truma can only exist as tolush, because it can't be truma until it was already chayev and truma semaisris, it was idka, and that's way after it was tolush min akarka. And just like by truma, a shliach is osa shlichuto, and somebody can be touring for somebody else, and he's a shliach. Achei Talmud b'me'ilah. Even so, by me'ilah, it's the same thing. It is pogein v'nene, umi shepagam nene, ubadavar shepogein bo nene, ubegimato v'anoke echad, ubetalush min hakarka, which is why we took for granted earlier in the Masechta that you can't be moel in a sadeh, unless it was in the avak that would come down from the sadeh. And furthermore, the tremendous finishes, that the shliach shasar shlikuto, there is a din, normally ain't shliach v'dvar avera. By me'ila, we learn out for chet chet mitruma that there is shliach v'dvar avera. And if I send you to do the act, I'm the one that's moel, instead of the shliach being moel. If I give it to you, we'll see exactly how, but it's really talking about shinui mishus. The din of me'ila. But yes, normally if I'm the one who hands it to you and tells you what to do with it, then I'm the one that's chayv. Ein li ela ochel v'nehene. This, I would think, is dafka, if that's the case, limited to cases of me'ila similar to truma. And that truma has to eat it. And if it's something that's not nifgam, it's a chayv by truma, chiyav of truma. But how about a davar shein bo pagam minayin? How about being nene from something which I can't eat, like a kosher zahav, and to drink from it? How about when it comes to me'ila, achilato v'achilat chaveiro? How about if I eat some of it and I hand some of it to my friend who has no idea I'm handing him hektash? I give it to him. Or how about I'm nene, or my friend is nene at the same time? Or hana'at v'achilat chaveiro? How about hanato and it just hano and the chaver eats or achilato v'anayat chaveiro? How do I know that in all of these cases they're mitztarfim zeim ze? And furthermore, afil lizman meruba minayin. How do we know, as opposed to truma, which needs to be at one time? How do we know that over here it could be over a period of years? Tamud loma. Therefore, the Torah is marba by me'ila nefesh. Vitim ol ma'al. In other words, there's an additional ribuy. Mikol makom. Ayol tainas umach chet almud truma. Lot sirev shte achilot ke'achad. Ach chet almud b'mi'ila. Lot sirev shte achilot ke'achad. How do we know that you can actually be mitzarif two separate acts by mi'ila, which you cannot do by truma?
What can't you do by truma?
You can't. By truma, you have a normal din of achila. So you can't add something that's not, if it's not betoch tefach in this process, you're not able to be mitzarif.
Okay.
Let's say, truth is it's a machlokas. I'm picked off you a little bit. Because if you recall, we saw earlier, there are those who hold that by truma we also have a shear of truta, since there's a din over there in tashlum. Okay, but there's not Rashi learns over here. You would need to have a chila b'tefach in this process. So maybe that's true by me'ila as well. Ochal ayom v'ochal u'machar ra'afil u'zman meruba. How do you know if you be mitzarev for any length of time? It's going through the same limud and being mefarad there. Minayin tamigomar timol ma'o mikol makom. That's by truma, it's that he's a czar is eating it, and that's it. He's taking it out from the rishus of the kohen. But how about by me'ila, in a case where I took it out from kodesh, and I used it for kodesh? For instance, lakach kinei zavim, v'kinei zavot, v'kinei yoldot. Or, shakal shiklo v'evich atatova ha'shamo mina hekdesh. How do I know that if I steal money from Hekdash, I make money that was miyuka for Hekdash, and I buy a carbon with it? I'll buy a cane and bring it. Or I'll use it to pay my shekel. I mean, I'm just giving it back to Hekdash. I mean, I'm not doing anything. You told me I still owe money. Fine, I understand. I owe money, but I didn't do an act of me'ila. How do I know that it's mamish an act of me'ila, which is certainly not similar to truma? And by the way, it's about locus, as the Gemara. What the shear is, kibbut shahotzi ma'al, the river shear would be romanachi yisar kadam, that it's not the purchase, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's just the purchase. In other words, I now take the cane I bring the cane now. Doesn't matter whether I sacrificed it or not for Reb Yehuda. You need to have the actual Zrikas Adam in order for it to be considered a Me'ila. But the bottom line is that both agree that you could be Me'il from Kodesh to Kodesh. How is that? Tamud Lomar again. Timo Ma'al Mikol Makom. So there's elements that we learn from Chet Chet Mishruma. And there's elements that we're Marbe. Now we're going to, tomorrow, we're going to go through the more details in this Braisa. But there's elements that we're marba through Timo Ma'al, and elements that we're defining Dafka in terms of Chet Chet Mishruma.